Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. One of the questions that I get all of the time from people that find out that I'm a pastor is one I actually never anticipated, one I never expected to hear. One of the first questions that I hear often is, they'll ask, was your father a pastor? And it's an interesting question, isn't it? There's this thought process that thinks that when a man becomes a pastor, it must run in the family. You know, and frankly, God willing, sometimes it does. We have children of former pastors here at St. Peter's who have entered the ministry. And there are a lot of men that I went to seminary with that were second, third, even some fourth, fifth, sixth generation pastors in their families. And they followed in their father's footsteps, their father's business. Me? Well, my dad was a self-employed general contractor. He built houses. And as some of you who may know me well can attest, or maybe can well attest, I most definitely do not build houses. I like to think that I, you know, build homes, but I definitely don't build houses. In that sense, I did not follow in my father's footsteps. Jesus also had an earthly father who was a carpenter. And while Jesus was God and probably could have been, you know, the greatest carpenter of all time, it was pretty apparent early on that Jesus was not going to follow in the footsteps of Joseph, at least not occupationally or vocationally. There were other plans. And perhaps that's seen no place better than our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 2. The only reading, by the way, that we have of Jesus between being, you know, an infant or a small toddler and his earthly ministry that begins when he's roughly 30 years old. So here we see him at 12 years old, a 12-year-old boy, going with his parents, Mary and Joseph, to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. And we hear in the reading that the feast ended, and the family began their return, likely as, you know, part of a caravan of people, extended family, and others traveling from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And we might understand a little bit about how this might have happened when we understand that most of the time the men traveled together and the women traveled together and the children traveled together. And of course, they get about a day's journey down the road and Jesus is not with them. We won't get held up too much on that part, as this is a very different travel setup than when we jump in our minivan and make a day's journey. What's more important to the reading is not that he was left behind or that it took them a day to figure it out, but rather what he was doing when he was left behind in Jerusalem. Our passage began with this verse from verse 40, which is actually kind of the section right above it, that told us that Jesus grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And that's important as we then see Mary and Joseph return to Jerusalem, return to the temple, and there they find Jesus in the temple. They find him sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And it says that all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Jesus most definitely wasn't a carpenter. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher. Already at the age of 12, he was able to engage with the other rabbis and even teach them the things of God. We might think, and maybe rightfully so to some extent, you know, that Jesus was tapping in to his divinity and knew all things. And that's true, that he did know all things. He is God in the flesh. But we also remember the words of Philippians 2, when we hear that though he was in the very form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself or humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. In his humility, Jesus Christ grew in knowledge and understanding. He faithfully learned and grew in the faith. In fact, at the age of 12 is when most Jewish boys finish their formal catechesis, their formal learning, being taught the scriptures from their parents, specifically their father. It's when they received their bar mitzvah and were able to enter into the work of the synagogue. So Jesus has been learning. He's been growing. He's faithfully learned the word of God and grown as a student of the word and a follower of the Father. And that's what prompts the response that Jesus gives to his mother when his parents then find him in the temple. Mary finds him and she says, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And Jesus said, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" There's an interesting thing there. The translation that we use, the ESV here, says "in my Father's house," as many translations do. While other translations, like the King James Version, say "about my Father's business." "Do you not know I must be about my Father's business?" And the truth is that the Greek is interesting. It could probably be translated, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's house, my Father's business?" Really, if we're just doing like a plain reading of it, it's, "Do you not know I must be about the things of my Father," or "about my Father's things," or if we want to use real technical language, "the stuff of my Father." That's a technical word, stuff. That stuff could be his Father's house, which the temple was, or that stuff could be the work, the business of his Father's, which he was certainly about. Jesus was in his Father's house and about his Father's business. Jesus was in the natural place where he belonged. God willing, our parents' house is a place where, you know, we feel at home. Jesus was at home in the house of his heavenly Father, the temple. And he was even more at home doing the work that he was called to do by his Father. He was about his Father's business. That's why he came, to do the work of his Father. And that work, thanks be to God, was to be the perfect, obedient child of God. We read this text and we might think Jesus is not the most obedient child, but I think we'd be reading a little bit too much into it. Jesus has been taught the word of God. He's been a faithful student of the word of God, and here he is teaching in the synagogue, listening in the synagogue, and doing the things that he's been taught to do. And we also hear, by the way, at the end of the passage that he went back down with them to Nazareth and was submissive to them. So he was doing the work that he's called to do, to the work that we frankly cannot do and haven't done. That is, to do the things that God has called us to do perfectly and without sin. Remember, he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. He was doing the work of God not only to be that perfect substitute for us, but to bring light into darkness and to redeem us through his blood so that we can have the forgiveness of sins by the riches of his grace, as we heard in our second reading. This is why he came. This was his Father's business. This is what he's been called to do, to be the Redeemer, the Savior of the world. We have this picture. We don't know a lot here, of course, about Joseph, his earthly father, and frankly, it's the last time that we hear about him in the Gospel of Luke, is here in this chapter. But I want to say something real quickly about Joseph. As we think about Jesus, it might look like he's kind of being dismissive of his earthly father here and simply making the statement that he's, you know, the Son of God, which, of course, he is doing that. He is making a statement that he's the Son of God, making a statement about who his true father is. But Jesus also respected his earthly father and learned from his earthly father. Joseph, as we know, wasn't just a carpenter, but he was a faithful, godly man. Jesus did follow in his earthly father's footsteps, maybe not vocationally, but where it really matters, spiritually. Joseph had taught him the faith. Joseph had shown him what it means to trust God's word, to believe, and to be the man that God has called him to be. So here again, we see Jesus in his Father's house and about his Father's business. We, as people now living in the year 2020, as we've entered this new year, there are so many different possibilities for what can take place in this year ahead of us. Frankly, I'm thinking about this year and thinking about all of the challenges that might come, all of the things that need to get done, the craziness of the schedule that my family keeps. And I'm not really a guy that gets overwhelmed that easily, but thinking about it kind of makes me a little bit anxious. But then I think about this text, and there's something here that gives me some peace, something here that reminds me what's important. Have you heard that acronym KISS before? Kids, you should shut your ears. It means keep it simple, stupid. You've heard that before? Maybe not. But it's pretty simple when we think about it. We might look at this coming year and think of all the things ahead of us and all the challenges that might come, but it's really pretty simple. We should be in our Father's house and about our Father's business. It's pretty simple. Because in our Father's house, we find rest. In our Father's house, we find the benefits of everything that Jesus has done for us. The people traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. There they participated in the redeeming work of God for his people in Egypt, his saving them from bondage and from death by the blood of the Lamb. There they found their identity, their hope, and their rest in the work of God and the promises of God. And we too find our identity, our hope, and our rest in the work of God and the promises of God. We too come to the Lord's house, gathering with his people where he gives us what we need, namely himself. So this year I'd really encourage you to be in your Father's house, to be in worship, and to encourage each other in coming to worship, as the author to the Hebrews says, to not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage each other all the more as you see the day approaching. I encourage you to take seriously the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And those words from the small catechism where we hear that we should fear and love God so we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. That we come to the Lord's house regularly this year. Why? Not because you must, because you have to do it, because it's law, and you're a bad person and a bad Christian if you don't. No, because here you find Jesus. Here you have a relationship with God, your Heavenly Father. Here he speaks to you through his word. Here he feeds you with his meal. Here he builds you up and encourages you, and here you find peace and rest in the loving arms of your Father. So be in your Father's house this year. And be about our Father's business. This doesn't mean being a pastor, though it certainly might include that for some people. But being about our Father's business is to be that light in the darkness. Being about our Father's business means, for parents, it means to teach and instruct our children the way that Joseph and Mary taught and instructed Jesus. It means being in the Word and praying together, something that, frankly, even I fail at quite a bit. It means showing them God's truth and showing them the love and forgiveness of Christ. Being about our Father's business means doing the things of God wherever he's called you. You know, it's a fallacy, a lie of the evil one, when we think that we have to be pastors or church workers or missionaries in order to be doing the Father's business. God willing, he will raise up pastors and missionaries that he calls to certain ministry, and we should indeed be praying for that regularly. But the Father's business is done by the general contractor, by the engineer, by the school teacher, by that stay-at-home mom, the retired grandparent, and any other vocation, provided it's not an illegitimate business rooted in sin. The Father is at work. The work of our Lord is done when we are ambassadors for Christ wherever he calls us. In our home, in our community, in our workplace. Not just preaching to people, though God willing we get that opportunity to share the gospel with people. Not just preaching to people though, but showing them Christ and his love in how we work, in how we act, in how we love, in how we forgive, in how we humble ourselves and apologize. All tough stuff, stuff that we probably all struggle with. But when we are sitting at the feet of our Father regularly, the Holy Spirit is at work, and he works his work in and through us. I may not have followed in my dad's footsteps in building houses, but just like Jesus followed Joseph in the faith, I learned what it means to be a man of God in part from my father. How to love and how to be a father. And, well, some of you know my dad's story, others you don't. I won't get into all of that right now, but I can tell you this. I never felt as close to my father as I did when we were in the Lord's house worshiping our Father together. So be about our Father's business in our Father's house. In our Father's house and about our Father's business is what we're called to do here as individuals and as a church here in 2020. Pastor Eric has been encouraging us for a while now to be bringers and inviters. Be about our Father's business this year. Showing other people the love of Jesus Christ, inviting them to your Father's house where they can find peace and rest, where they can find love and forgiveness, where they can meet and be cared for by their dear Heavenly Father. Be about our Father's business, bringers and inviters. We're also going to emphasize this year community outreach, reaching this community, being about our Father's business. And always, always we're about sitting at the feet of our Father, being in God's Word, being taught by Him, being refreshed by Him, growing in wisdom and in knowledge by the Holy Spirit, and showing God's love, living out our Christian lives as children of our Heavenly Father. So brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever the Lord calls you in 2020, I encourage you and pray that you be in your Father's house and about your Father's business. Amen.